My name is Andre Whitehead. For 15 years, I have grown the brand of Tennessee Prep Hoops. Now, with the assistance of Brent Watts, we bring to you Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio. All right, welcome. This is Andre Whitehead, Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio, with my man Seth Stokes. And there's a guy sitting next to us, Seth.
Guess who's back?
Haven't seen him in like 6 months. I need to. Do we need like
what,
one of them missing
persons? What is his name again?
Your name, sir?
Daddy.
Doesn't ring a bell.
My daddy would be taller.
You sound a little taller on the radio.
I guess
awesome.
The return of Brent Watts.
Hey, you know what? It's awesome to be back, especially coming off Thanksgiving weekend.
It seems like you've been gone a while. It seems like
I've been.
Rob Murphy filled in, and we upgraded in every single category.
You know, I want to touch on that just for a second.
Tell me one category we didn't upgrade on. Not every category. Looks, height, basketball ability,
sarcasm.
That's because Rob's a good guy.
Yeah. Well.
Oh no, he had some sarcastic moments.
He did, and especially often. About you.
He had moments. I have consistency.
He spoke clearly into the mic the entire time.
He did
that.
Taller. That's easy because he's taller and he's younger.
You can adjust that, man.
He's taller, so he spoke. Seth's
10 months
than you,
into the show.
The
10 months into the show, and you let me know you can adjust the mic. Thanks.
I've adjusted it for you before.
Pay attention. Whatever.
See, if you would not wear your sunglasses inside, you would actually see these.
You send him to school. You buy him books. He eats the covers.
Yeah, maybe I don't know if there were performance enhancing drugs in college, but whatever. Maybe there were.
Well, you would. You should have.
They
got
let
your
me
money
beat my books.
They didn't
whatever.
Work.
Well, let's get. We gotta crunch a lot in here. So let's get down to it. I want to interview the guy who puts the most miles on his car over Thanksgiving, and goes to a big word. I'll define it for you too, if I have to. A plethora, a cornucopia of games over the holiday break.
Spell it now.
SETHISSTUPID.
Wrong.
Cornucopia.
Good try though.
Yeah. So I don't know. But tell me, world traveler, where did you start? Because Thanksgiving is awesome for basketball.
It is. All the holidays have a lot of. It's yes. Great when you get to go to a venue, and you get it in one spot. And you get 8 games. That's awesome. Of course, they trick you because they stick a couple girls' games in the middle of it and make you watch that. But, you know, I don't want to be so hard on them. We'll change that subject. But I went to, on the Friday after Thanksgiving, I went to Lebanon, who, if you've never been to that school, wow. That school is, it is huge. I mean, it's ginormous. It is unbelievable. And I got to see a lot of really good basketball. Got to see Oakland, who is playing without their football players, and they were tremendous. I got to see Independence, who is another team that is really looking good so far this year. Grayson Murphy, Patrick Murphy, Malcolm Walker, team that's going to contend towards the end of the year. Got to see Centennial with KJ LeSure.
Yes.
I love them. They won in a close game over Hillwood. I got to see the host
Centennial
team, Lebanon.
Was Centennial, were they hallmarked by a good guard play?
KJ LeSure, yeah. He's a good guard, yeah. Yep. And then Pete Froden, the coach, he's a great coach. So got to do that on Friday. And then Saturday, I went over to Cannon County and got to see probably one of the best games I've seen so far this year. Was a showdown between McCauley and Station Camp. And let me tell you, great game.
Really.
I mean, Junior Clay didn't play in the game, which I think probably was the difference as far as would have been a little closer. It still was a close game. I mean, McCauley plays a lot of kids. I mean, he plays 12 to 15 kids in a rotation system. And Station Camp looked really strong. Keaton Dotson, who kid going to Tusculum, phenomenal game. Chase Freeman, their point guard, was ridiculous. If you're an NAIA school, you need to call Seth Massey right now and recruit Chase Freeman. I'm telling you, he can play.
I mean, was that a direct shot at Jason Shelton or?
No, I mean, hopefully it's
Scotty Combs.
Words of advice for Scotty Combs, Jason Combs. Shelton, Coach Rakowski, all of our NAIA friends that we have, Tennessee Wesley, and we love them all. We show no favoritism.
Mike Poe, if you're listening.
Mike Poe. I saw Mike Poe Monday night.
How's he doing?
Monday night at the Austin East Bearden game, which nice. I went over and watched the, quote, Evil Empire. And I don't think so I've ever evil. Seen my man Coach Blevins more excited about a group of freshmen in his life.
That's painful because I remember when he was talking about excited about a sophomore class. And we've had two members of that sophomore class on the show, some kid named Orange and Chico. Or Green and Rico. I don't remember. Whatever.
Yeah, one's playing in the D-League.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
But he's got a couple freshmen that, yeah. I'm surprised you're even on a basketball show. I haven't gone to Farragut. But,
me too. Thank you, Jared LeVertier.
Let me tell you, number five, Trent Stephanie for Bearden freshman. Mark it down right now. Mark the day, the time. This kid is a baller. Flat-out baller.
Well, he's a freshman. Theoretically, I'm just going to say theoretically, what level do you have him ranked at right now?
He's definitely, at this point right now, he's definitely a mid-major Division I player. But, you know, you got to understand he's going to get stronger.
No, I
he's going to play good competition. But I really don't like to put the label on him that young.
I know. I really don't.
But I think he's, you know, I think he's a kid that's heading in the direction of being a very good player. And if he gets stronger, gets a little bigger, and works on his outside shot a little more, we might have a high major player. And Coach Blevins loves him. And I think that's a – and they just kept bringing in freshmen after freshman after freshman. A great game. They ended up winning, you know, at the end. So, you know, let's – and then I'm working on my schedule for Christmas. Actually, Saturday we are going to North Laurel, Kentucky to watch 22 Foot Academy with Jordan Bowden from Carter High School taking on Hamilton Heights. Who I can't wait. This will be my first time this year to see Hamilton Heights, so I'm excited with Abdullah Adu. Then the new guys that they brought in from all the new guys they've got in from Canada, and then Ezekiel Beloga. And I can't wait to see this.
You're going to have an update on how Jordan has progressed.
And Jordan, yeah, he's gotten a lot stronger. And they beat Oak Hill a couple weeks ago.
What?
22 Foot Academy beat Oak Hill. So.
What?
So this will be a really an interesting game. It's at a you know, big time tournament there in London, Kentucky. So looking forward to that on Saturday, and then next Saturday, the 12th, I'll be heading to White's Creek. Carlton Battle, for the coach of White's Creek, is putting together a real good tournament with Arlington Bolton's coming up with Jalen Fisher, Kane Ridge is in it, White's Creek is in it. A lot of good teams from the Nashville area will be playing in it. A couple teams from the West Tennessee area will come up and play in it. So, real excited about that tournament next Saturday at White's Creek.
What's my clone doing? What's Dotson doing over the break?
Your clone?
Dotson at Siegel.
Oh, I thought you meant the Toxic Avenger.
No.
Okay. No. Dotson, they're doing okay. They went to the Bahamas over the break, and a tournament, actually, surprising enough, tournament had like five Tennessee teams in it. Oak Ridge is the team that ended up winning it.
Yeah.
And Siegel played in that tournament and did good. They're young. They're going to have a little bit of growing pains. They're still going to be good because they're athletic.
Yeah.
But they're very young, and they've got some – their freshman and sophomore class are the guys that really to watch out for. So, Dotson's got it rolling. He'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Toxic Avenger might be the most obscure reference you've ever made on this
show.
You
like that, don't you?
I did.
You remember what that guy looked like?
Oh, he was hideous.
Am I that far off?
You just need a mop in your hand.
Exactly. You've never seen the Toxic Avenger.
No, I know exactly who you're talking about. This hurts.
It wasn't in the Twilight.
Love hurts, man.
It wasn't in the Twilight movies. He didn't see it.
I freaking have I have Martin Sheen hair from the West Wing, and y'all are busting on me. It's obscene.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway. So, everybody, you know, a lot of teams off to a really good start right now. You know, we're just in. A lot of teams haven't played a lot of games because they're still, you know, indoctrinating their football guys into their into their system. So, some teams have not. But, like Oak Ridge, they're 8-0. They've played a bunch of games.
Well, surprisingly, they got their football players back pretty quick.
They got them back quicker than they thought they would, I think. So, there's quite a few teams in AAA that some of the really good teams that I think, like, when we did the preview, I told you. Did I not tell you that Cordova and Arlington were going to be two teams to watch, and they're both out to 5-0 starts?
Yes.
Nathan Hoover from Arlington, Wofford commitment, is putting his official stamp on the Mr. Basketball trophy. He wants everybody to know that he is officially a candidate for Mr. Basketball, and he's lightening it
he's
up
laying
right now.
Claim early in the season.
He sure is. And then Cordova, they've just got a I'm going to use that plethora word again. They got a cavalcade of players. You like that one? Did you look at that? Did you see his eyebrow raise, Seth? He's never heard that word.
I figured that was coming from Seth's direction, and I look, and Andre's using that word.
Yeah, I use that word. It means like a wagon train, right?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and throw out a reference here to I just give credit where credit's due. It's a team I didn't think we'd mention, but Gibbs is 6-0.
Gibbs has started 6-0. You know what? My man's got a pretty decent little squad.
Good for
Timmy
him.
Mead, the head coach at Gibbs. I actually watched them play earlier in the year against Seymour. And they've got a pretty good inside physical presence. They shoot the ball pretty well. They're in a district where, you know, obviously Oak Ridge is in the district, but you know, Powell's pretty good too.
Powell is doing well, yes.
You know, and but they're gonna make some noise because they got a little bit of depth, got a little bit of size. They're starting to come together, and they're 6-0 right now, so they're off to a really good start. So that's a team to definitely we'll keep an eye on as the year goes on.
Do we even need to mention that Blackman's got it rolling?
No, everybody knows that Blackman. We mention Blackman all the time.
Why state the obvious?
So I'm going. I think I'm getting accused of being a Blackman.
I want to,
which is okay with me.
I want to go ahead and talk about a player who had 35 the other night against Anderson County, and the amount of confidence and skill that he picked up in the high school fall league because he was very well coached in that league. But,
jeez, do you ever make a reference that doesn't refer back to you?
Why would I?
Because I don't think there's anything that you told Luke Smith, anything. Because I don't think if we had a lineup of people right here, right now, and you were in it, that Luke Smith could pick you, even pick you out of the lineup.
Cody's brother could pick me out in a heartbeat, A. And B, no, I don't really think I affected his career that much. But we did have a lot of fun on Saturdays.
Well, that's
didn't
all,
talk that, much basketball, but we had fun.
That's all that matters.
That's what it's all about.
But no, he had 35. Against Anderson County, so that's quite a lot of points in a 32-minute game. So, that's a good one.
Yeah, he started off really well, and I'm happy. And they won't get their football players back till next week because somehow or another they went from a 2-4 team to being in the state championship. Yep. So good
gotta
for them.
Got to get hot at the right time.
Good for them,
Coach Matthews.
Really, really happy
ecstatic.
For them.
Yep.
Really happy for them. I know that, and happy. You know, even though it's a basketball show, I still want to say I'm happy for Greenback.
Yes.
Because that's kind of close to where I live, and I've got some, you know, cousins that played at Greenback that were on that very first state championship team back in 87. So this is, really good for them. And then, obviously, Maryville Alcoa, you know, la-di-da, they're in the state championship game again.
Yeah, I guess he's in the state championship.
Yeah.
Oh, so who's playing Maryville? Oh, okay.
Yeah, of course. So, well, that's great. So we'll, jump over to Class AA. You know, like Creekwood as a team that, you know, that their record isn't astounding yet, but they've started out playing and intentionally playing some really good teams.
Yes.
Playing Blackman. And so they got a couple losses on their docket already, but that's okay. You get some losses in.
Call them losses. Let's call them learning.
A couple losses
experiences.
In November and December playing really good teams, and nothing wrong with that. So a team to watch out for, and I said it in the preview, was Martin Westview.
Yes.
They're 5-0, coached by Mike Greer, and, I think they're going to be really good. That's a team to really watch out for in AA. And then single A, you know, not a lot of games have been played. There's a few teams undefeated, Clay County, Meigs, Wartburg. But, Grace is a team that's going to be really good. But Grace has already played Oak Ridge. They've played Farragut.
They did, and we talked about this on the phone. CJ Gettlefinger, their freshman point guard, went down early, needed stitches.
Or else you would have never.
Actually,
Farragut beat Upperman the other night, which is a really good win.
That is, but they lost to that little punk kid, Jared Laverdier, coaching at Scott County.
But,
Laverdier, I'm coming after you.
Well, I'm looking forward to around Christmas. We got a hole. We'll talk a little bit about more about that next week, hopefully. And got a lot. No, next week, Thursday is Christmas, isn't it, Seth? Not next week.
No, dude.
No, next week we're still okay.
You get a couple of weeks.
Dude, yeah. Okay. Dude, don't freaking stab me like that. Jeez.
You wouldn't have to worry about Christmas. You didn't have all them kids. So, well, let's go ahead and take this one down to break. And coming up in our next segment, our Kelly Chiropractic interview segment.
With Mike Jones.
Who?
Who?
Mike Jones.
From Tusculum, and you know he hates hearing that all the time. Yeah. So this is Andre Whitehead, Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio, Sports Radio 1180 D.
Join us for an in-depth discussion of the penetrating issues facing society today.
Penetrating.
The Swain Event, the fourth quarter, Rocky Top Insider Radio, the Dave Hooker Show, and more. Sports talk around the clock, sun up to sundown, and online all the time. The new Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ.
This is Andre Whitehead at Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio to talk about my friends at the John Bailey Company, Knoxville's independent insurance agency since 1946. For all your commercial, home, and auto needs, look to the John Bailey Company at 1011 North Broadway in Knoxville or contact them at 865-524-0785 or email at johnbaileyco.com. The John Bailey Company, Knoxville's independent insurance agency since 1946. How can we help you? Have you ever wanted to see more of the Avengers, X-Men, or Walking Dead, or learn more about the Arrow or the Flash? Or maybe you're looking for a great way to get your child into reading without having to spend a lot of money? Then check out Snake Eyes Comics. Snake Eyes Comics has been Knoxville's top spot for all your comic and nerd needs. With two convenient locations in the Home Depot Shopping Center in West Knoxville and off the Callahan Road exit in North Knoxville, Snake Eyes Comics has something for everyone. Find us on Facebook and stop in today.
People wanted to keep up with and talk about their favorite sports teams, so we took care of it.
What'd you do?
All the latest info, all the best talk, here on the Sports Station.
The Vols, Titans, and more. Sound off. The new Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ, at sportsradiothevlz.net.
All right, we are back. This is Andre Whitehead. Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio, Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ, and on the phone with me right now, the head man for the Pioneers of Tusculum, Mr. Mike Jones. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing well, Andre. How are you doing?
Do you get that every time someone says your name? You know, I don't know if you remember that rapper, Mike Jones. Everybody would say,
who?
Mike Jones,
who?
And they'd say, who?
And rapper, who? What?
I know. That's just got to be so annoying. You've probably heard that 50 billion times in your life.
When I think Mike Jones, I think of the legendary coach at Mississippi College. So
there you go. Thank you. I
appreciate
that.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Wow. That's insight from Brent Watts right
that's
there.
That's small college insight.
Well, hey, off to a good start so far right now. You guys started out at 4-1. A couple big wins. Great. You know, it's always good to start the season off with a couple wins, no matter what. I mean, and you beat Pfeiffer. I think you beat – who else did they beat?
Brevard, Bluefield.
Bluefield.
And their only loss is to King, who's very highly ranked.
Yeah, he was highly ranked.
We were debating about their actual ranking because there's two polls, but
he goes with the higher number in the poll, and I don't know which poll you actually go by, but anyway, they're ranked anywhere between 5th and 11th, so how about that?
Exactly.
So, it sounds like you guys are off to a great start, and I saw that Carter putting up some serious numbers so far. And so talk a little bit about your team.
Absolutely. Well, we're really pleased with the start. This is my fifth season here at Tusculum, and we've run into almost a train wreck of bad luck, it seems like, from year in, year out. We've had to deal with a lot of things. And last year we lost 6 scholarship athletes to injuries. So we literally were playing. We had 3 of our top 7 last year were walk-ons. We started a walk-on at point guard spot. And, we had to struggle through some things. But there was a lot of growth that's happened over the last 3 years. And we've had to throw guys right to the fire and get them ready. And that's now paying off because we returned everybody except the walk-on point guard from last year, so which is Mason Fox, who you know from the Rocky Top League.
Okay, so Mason's hurt.
No, Mason Fox was our senior last year.
Oh, he was a senior last year. Okay, my bad. Yeah. I got that confused. I was waiting because he played in the league, in the Rocky Top League this year. And I always say, a Stone Memorial kid. I've actually watched him kind of grow up in front of my eyes. So he was a senior last year. Oh, darn.
Yeah,
that's some big production because he was a he's a gamer.
Yeah, he did a nice job for us last year. But again, he was the only team that we had, so we've got to return everybody, and everybody's back this year. We're healthy. You know, we've got two guys that are listed as preseason all-conference, and we've got a third, who you've already mentioned, Darius Carter, who was our leading scorer as a junior 2 years ago, the year before he got hurt. So we've got a lot of guys back, a lot of guys with experience, and you know, we're just really excited about it.
Yeah, and you got Chance Mounts, another guy that played in the Rocky Top League that I've, you know, been checking out your box scores and stuff, and he's off to a really good start. And then, and tell us a little bit about Chance and what he brings to the table.
Well, this isn't my opinion. At least people tell me this. I mean, you know how some guys are, but you know, we feel like he's the best post in the conference. You know, he's 6'10", 245 pounds. He plays a lot like some of your NBA European pros, you know, the brothers.
The Gasols?
The Gasol brothers.
A little more perimeter-oriented, maybe?
Perimeter, more finessing. He's not going to wow you with
any physical,
type of
basketball. Yeah, a little more finesse. No. Yeah, that's kind of the European game.
Yeah, he's got great hook shots. You know, he's got great hands. He passes well. So he does a lot of things. And then at 6'10", obviously, that makes him a tough cover. So he's done a nice job. He was all-conference last year as a sophomore. We got him back as a junior in his first team preseason all-conference for this season. So he's kind of our anchor. He's the guy in the middle, and he definitely is something that makes us different.
That's great. And then we got to talk about a couple of the Tennessee kids you got on your roster. I know one that started for you most of the year, Matt Schaun, a kid from Alcoa, which is where I live. And I've noticed Matt, he's kind of your kind of one of your glue guys. It seems like he's, you know, getting average anywhere from 8 to 10 points a game, getting close to double digit rebounds. So he's filling a role for you.
You know, he's one of those guys that you just kind of, you can beat on him, you can pound on him, you know, we can put him into any situation. And the thing that Matt brings to us is he's going to give you every ounce of effort he's got, and that's what he does. You know, when you look at it, here's a young man that I don't know, we figure he is 6'5".
Always figured he was about 6'5".
Yeah, you know, so he's a little undersized for the post position, even in our league.
He's wide, though.
He is. He's big and strong. And, you know, here's a kid as a junior who led the South Atlantic Conference in rebounding last year, and he led the South Atlantic Conference in double-double. You know, so that's the kind of guys that I like to have, those guys that just are going to play harder than anybody else and will play harder than the guys playing against them. And definitely Chase and Matt Schoen are those guys that are just like that. They just play so hard. And that those are guys, like you said, they're your glue guys. They're ones that kind of make you different.
Yeah, production guys on the inside. And then Corey Fagan, I think you got him coming off the bench this year. But he's playing about, you know, anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes a game. So he's coming off the bench, but he's playing a lot of minutes. And I know you were real pleased with him last year.
Absolutely, yeah. Corey was a big... had a big year last year as a sophomore, and he started basically every game for us last year. But you know, that's one of those unusual. You know, he started last year not necessarily by design, but by necessity. And so here we come back, and you've got Darius Carter back, who's an all-conference player, but you know, was hurt last year, and then you've got Javon Price who started last year for us at the other wing, and he led the conference in three pointers made. So where do you fit? You know, you can't start all three of them. And so we sat down with them, and we said, I don't know who's going to start. You're all going to figure it out and practice. And so they competed and competed. But I knew going in that it doesn't matter who the two are that got the names called to start the game, that they were all going to be right around the same minutes. If you look our stats right now, you'll see outside of Darius is a little bit more. But definitely Javon and Corey are basically, you know, same kind of missing, which is great for us because you have no letdown now when our substitution pattern.
And Corey's a team guy too, so you knew that he would not have any trouble with coming off the bench because, you know, the old adage, doesn't matter who starts the game, it's who finishes the game. So
exactly.
And so, you guys are getting ready to probably after the first of the year, probably dive straight into some SAC action. And I know that the, you know, you've got the kingpin right now. I think LMU is probably at the top dog. And then Carson Newman came on real strong at the end of the year last year when some of their young guys kind of grew up. And, you know, they beat LMU there at the end when they were undefeated. And then But it's a pretty good league, and a lot of people don't realize how good the basketball is on that level. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what you think about the SAC this year and how you think you guys are going to fare.
Well, I think that you basically stole the words out of my mouth, as you're prone to do, I guess, Andre.
Hey, you guys, I take credit that you coaches have educated me on how to coach talk. So,
well, people that have not seen, Division II basketball,
they have no idea.
The Southland Conference, they have no idea.
They have no idea.
Amen.
How good the basketball is.
I didn't mean to
stop you there, but it's like
you hit our hot button.
You know, that's one of our main topics that we talk about all the time. Is a lot of times now when I'm rating kids, I don't even rate them D2. Because the influx with the transfer rate in D1 being so heavy, a lot of those guys are going to D2. So a lot of times, D2s are really not even hardly recruiting high school kids anymore.
A lot of them don't. Honestly, they don't. They are a transfer type of program. That's not something that we necessarily do. But, it's a wonderful segue for me, because one of the things I wanted to mention is I've been in the SAC a long time, going back to my years as a head coach of Navarro. And I've never seen a year where there was as many Division I transfers at the same time coming in.
Yeah, it's just the transfer rate's ridiculous right now.
And as you steal my question, so I'm not letting you steal my question. You've been in the SAC for a number of years. So talk about some of the transformation of the game, say, since the year 2000. For Division II, a lot of it is just the sheer transfer rate. Also, the talent of play, and then the money invested by the schools and their facilities, et cetera. What are some of the biggest changes in the game that you've seen in SAC play over the past 15 years?
Well, I think that probably, you made a great point, is that, I think overall basketball, I think basketball overall is improving. It's getting better. The kids are better coming out of high school. Now, maybe in some aspects, they're not. Obviously, there's not as much emphasis on fundamentals a lot of time or things like that. But the quality of athlete, kids are getting bigger. They're getting more versatile. Now you've got 6'7" kids running the wing in high school. And, when I was growing up a billion years ago, if you were over 6 foot, you were a post player because everybody was shorter. So, and the kids are getting better. The kids are getting bigger. And so you see that there's obviously a trickle-down effect that comes down from the very top schools in the nation. And, so all the players getting better. But then the thing that I think is really evident is the amount of money that individual schools want to invest. And that's not equal across the board. There's some schools that put a lot more emphasis on athletics or, in particular, certain sports. And that may be football, that could be basketball, it could be something else. But it's definitely not even across the board, and that varies in, scholarship allotments, budgets, facility upgrades, coaches' salaries, how they travel, everything that we do, obviously, is run by money in some way. So it's definitely different, definitely different.
Yeah, It is very different, and I want to kind of spin that into your competition, playing exhibition games against Division I teams year in and year out, and how has the parity, has the competition, has it gotten tighter over the past, I don't know how many years you've been doing it, but you've played. I mean, you used to have Athletes in Action or something like that where they'd play these preseason exhibitions, but now it's sort of what I would call interclassification. It's D2 or D3 versus D1. How have you seen, you mentioned you've played ETSU a number of times. How have you seen that evolve?
Well I think, and obviously I want to touch specifically on ETSU, but, I think that I'm fortunate, and it goes by year, it depends on your team, but your better Division II teams can beat Division I's and probably even finish middle of some of the conferences if they played in those Division I conferences. And if you take a team like LSU or LMU, you'll notice LMU doesn't play any exhibition games against Division I's. And if they do, it's going to be time to time, maybe they'll go down to Tennessee. And that's because they, Division I guys who don't want to get beat by.
They don't want to play them, yeah.
No, no, you're exactly right. I don't want to say, but there was some radio show host in Knoxville that was taking Alabama Huntsville over Tennessee and giving 4.5, and that guy was nuts.
Yeah, that was that yo-yo next to me.
He was really good looking, but I mean, just a blasphemous, but really good looking. But, you know, I mean, that was it, and that was more of a compliment of what some of the Division II guys we did,
absolutely,
we saw in the Rocky Top League. The players at the Division II level are freaking good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
the hardest thing in the recruiting. That's the hardest thing to tell, to convey to the parents, to the kids, these younger kids coming up. They think it's a slight when you say they're a D2 player, and it's just because they really have never sat down or went to a D2 game or went to a high-level D2 game. I mean, they don't even go to a high-level D3 game and watch Maryville College play. And then tell me you're good enough to play on that floor. So, but
don't even get me started on Maryville in particular, because you know, we've gone down. We didn't get to this year, but we've gone down and scrimmaged them for several years in a row. And they, obviously, Coach did a phenomenal job down there. He's been there forever.
Oh, he's
and ever.
Yeah, and ever. I mean, they just wiped the floor with us 1 year when we took a team down there.
When I was in school, we went up to Tusculum, and we were like, wow, Pioneer Arena was new. And we were like,
wow. Did
you
guys take like a wagon, a covered wagon?
We did take a covered wagon with two oxen. And from the tip, we were up 10, and it was just a 30-point nightmare of a scrimmage.
Yeah.
It was – but we were a top 10 D3 team, you know.
Exactly.
And Tusculum had a rough season that year. But that is – it's more representative, take the teams out, of the parity – amongst players. If guys learn to play the game, you can nullify.
That's exactly right. And, you know, there's a lot of players, like we were saying, there's a lot of players, a lot of quality players. And I'll be honest with you, we, you know, especially in the early signing period, and I don't want to jump ahead and get to that, but, you know,
we did. That was my next question.
I still want to go back to ETSU. So.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, We recruit kids that are getting Division I entry.
Exactly.
We're recruiting kids, yes, that are taking Division I.
You have to.
Visit. And maybe the Division I hasn't pulled the trigger on, but they're definitely on their board. Those are definitely kids that they're talking to. And we were very fortunate to get, you know, really two really good ones signed.
Absolutely. Yes, I want to bring them up now. I actually got to see Keaton play this weekend in one of the better high school games I've seen so far this year, the station camp against Macaulay out of Chattanooga, and uh-huh. Keaton went off. Keaton played one of the best. He's shooting the ball right now with such confidence, and we're talking about Keaton Dotson from Station Camp.
I like him.
And he played in the Fall League in Knoxville.
Right.
He came up and played with his AAU bunch.
And he played
in Knoxville, and he played very well.
Yes.
Great kid.
There were several other D2 teams on.
Okay. He's a guy that's going to really, really help you next year. And then the other guy who actually came up to Carson Newman to the camp is Brandon Dansow from Cane Ridge. He's a 6'5", 6'6", long, athletic kid. Like to see him do a little bit more on the boards, but he's kind of that stretch four, but athletic. Oh, my gosh, he's so athletic. And that's a really good get, because that was a kid that was starting to get some mention from some low D1s as well.
Exactly, and he took Division One. He took a Division One visit, official visit. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. That's the level of kids that we recruit. We don't, you know, pass on guys because they're getting interest from Division One. You know, we want to be right in there with the guys that are talking to those kids.
Well, to be competitive in your league, you have to get those players.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's without you don't get those players, and you're at the bottom of your league every year. So. There's no question about that.
I'm bouncing around a little bit, but, you know, we were talking about the SAC and what they've done, and, you know, I'm not going to go through school by school and player by player, but we've got two kids that came in this year from Mississippi State. You've got kids that came in from Jacksonville and the Citadel, and, you know, there's a lot of kids in this league.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm going to go ahead and say you got kids that are leaving the SAC and going and playing in the big boy leagues in Europe, the Pro A leagues.
Absolutely.
You know, they're playing for real money, a lot of money.
More than I make.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, I would say they're making $150,000 to $200,000 a year.
Absolutely right. Yeah, no, they do. And there's some great quality players And I can remember not so long ago where, and I can't remember this young man's name because I'm getting way too old and it's been many years, but Wingate had a kid that was one of the last players cut from what was then the Charlotte Bobcats. You know, and he was player of the year in this league for 2 years running. And so there's some really quality kids that have come out of the sack.
Oh, there's no question. And DeMario Curry, that was at LMU a few years ago, was one of the best players I've ever seen.
Hey,
and in the Rocky Top League, the UT players didn't want none of him.
And hey, I'll even go back even farther to guys from Carson Newman like Scott Williams. He had 61 in the old school Rocky Top League. Yeah, for years.
And
he was a 6-foot shooting guard.
Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of good players. I guess if nothing else comes out of this, I really wish people would take the time, especially people that have kids that are interested in basketball and are interested in being recruited, take the time, go to Tusculum, go to Carson Newman, go to LMU, go to a SAC game, go to Maryville College, go and check these teams out and just watch the level that they play at, because we can say it a million times, but until you see it face up, you have no idea how good they are.
Yeah, and make sure that you're catching a conference game, a good conference game, because at any level, you can go watch Tennessee play somebody and it's a bad game and you're leaving like, what is this? Make sure you're watching them play a good team, and kids will be humbled real quick.
You mean like my Hoosiers last night?
They were.
Did you watch that garbage?
They were humbled, yes.
We're the worst defensive team in the country.
Yes.
Three of us could go out and get two people and we could score 100 on Indiana right now.
With me.
Yeah, geez. With you.
As long as we're playing half court, I'm not
And they made some kind of make-believe zone defense they were playing. I was saying, Coach Knight's rolling over in his grave and he's not even dead yet.
My question was, does Yogi Ferrell know, has he forgotten basketball?
Offensively, we're fine. That's not the problem. I mean, he knows basketball. He just couldn't guard a fire hydrant. So
let's tell us about ETSU this year. You're the guy. We've had him on the show.
We've had Forbes and Shea on the show.
This is a two-part question.
Okay.
Number one, the difference between last year and this year's exhibition. And number two, who's better looking, Forbes or Shea?
Wow. I'm definitely going to put one first.
Smart veteran.
Because it'll be the easier of the two to answer. How's that? Smart. Coach Bartow and I, let me say this. Coach Bartow and I were good friends.
Yeah, and me Coach too. Bartow, I loved Coach Bartow.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
He personally treated me with a lot of respect. And I'm not throwing anybody under us, but you have experienced it at some point in your life. You know, a lot of those Division I guys, they'll tolerate a Division II coach, but Coach Bartow was not like that. He's a great man, good basketball coach, a legendary family, obviously. He knows what he's doing. But I think that his time there at ETSU had just run its course. As in the coaching business, that's unfortunately just one of the perils of it. They bring in a guy who is just known nationally as one of the best recruiters in the nation.
Yeah, no doubt.
Absolutely.
When he was at Tennessee, he was Bruce Pearl's guy and helping him.
Wichita State.
And then he goes to JUCO.
Yeah,
and
Northwest Florida wins national championship.
So he does a great job of getting kids. And you want to talk about a team that's loaded. Man, he's got some guys there that can really play. So they're a different basketball team.
Yeah, they've struggled this week, though. They lost to Charleston Southern, and they lost to Tennessee Tech this week.
He's got to put his thumb on those guys. And you know what? It's not an easy fix by any stretch, but it's an easy issue to look at. He's brought in, 10 to 12 new guys.
True, yeah. You're bringing that much. There's chemistry. Got to be chemistry issues and things like that. Yeah, there's no doubt.
But talent-wise, they're really good. And, then nobody would have to take my word or your all's word for this. All you got to do is look at the roster from last year to this year, and they've got a handful of guys that returned. PD started.
Mm-hmm.
There was guys that started.
Well, hey, one of our favorite guys, Lester Wilson. Absolutely. He's a 1,000-point scorer. He's about 200 threes away from being the all-time three-point leader in the history of the school, and he's coming off the bench getting 8 to 10 minutes a game.
Exactly. So those kind of things in black and white, that tells you how much better.
Yeah, how much talent the influx has been. So
exactly right.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. This has been a really good interview.
Yeah, I got one final question, and it's bold, but I want to hear your answer. Are you the best shooter to ever come out of Maysville, Kentucky?
Well, there was this one guy that came after me.
Was he short?
He was chubby. He was shorter than I am. He was pretty good. He's pretty good. But I like to think that I'm a better shooter than Chris Lofton.
Oh, I was about to say Darius Miller.
No. Some kid named Lofton.
That kid named Lofton. Yeah.
He played it. Yeah. Where did he play?
Mason County High School.
Yeah. But I meant college.
I knew that he got out of the state of Kentucky, which I was really pleased about.
Didn't they enact some laws not to they called it the Lofton Law, where Mr. Basketball is not allowed to leave the state of Kentucky anymore, something like that, because he just tortured him. But
I'll tell you this, and this is a tribute to Chris Lofton himself. And I know, when I got the job here in Tennessee, and especially this close to Knoxville, and all I had to do was tell people I was from Maysville. Of course, their eyes light up, and everybody loves Chris Lofton. Well, mm-hmm. Chris Lofton is one of the best guys.
He's
a tremendous young man.
I say the same thing about him and Dane Bradshaw. The hype doesn't do reality justice with those two. No. They're better in person.
Great, great people. And Chris, and this tells you how great a kid Chris is. Maysville, Kentucky, and Nathan County, where I grew up, rabid University of Kentucky. I mean, people are just rabid about them. These are the people that, go to Lexington maybe two times a year and never have had anybody to go to school in UK, but they'll cry when they lose.
Yes.
I mean, they're rabid.
Like I did last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I feel their pain.
When I went home to my old home, I went to Maysville not long ago, right after Chris. I mean, Chris may have still been playing. I think he was a senior. And I went back and they were selling University of Tennessee sweatshirts and things at Walmart.
Yes,
because of him. Yeah,
yes,
that's
absolutely.
That's great. Yeah, that's why I was really happy there were no big, there's no tall buildings in Alcoa last night after watching the Hoosiers play. I probably would have jumped off of one of them.
He's so angry.
It's brutal.
Try being a Tennessee basketball fan.
You know what the worst part was? You know what yesterday was?
What?
Britney Spears' birthday. Which started off as a great day. I mean, that's just, that honestly should be a national holiday. It isn't. I don't know why.
What did she turn? How old was she?
She's 21.
21. Forever 21?
Yes. God, what is wrong with him? So, well, Coach, man, thank you so much for putting up with us and listening to us. And thank you. It's some really insightful stuff. And look forward to getting out there and seeing you play, man. And I'm definitely going to catch you this year a couple times. So, stay in touch and, good luck.
Yeah, good luck,
Coach.
Hey,
I appreciate it. I really do. I appreciate it. You guys were a lot of fun. Hey, call me anytime. I'll do it.
Okay, we'll make sure we get you a copy of this, and hopefully we can get the Tusculum Nation to listen along as well.
There you go. Perfect.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
All right. Well, that was Mike Jones. Who?
Mike Jones.
From Tusculum. And we're going to go ahead and take this to break. This is Andre Whitehead, Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio, Sports Radio 1180, the BLZ.
People wanted to keep up with and talk about their favorite sports teams, so we took care of it.
What'd you do?
All the latest info, all the best talk, here on the Sports Station.
The Vols, Titans, and more. Sound off. The new Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ, at sportsradiothevlz.net.
Have you ever wanted to see more of the Avengers, X-Men, or Walking Dead, or learn more about the Arrow or the Flash? Or maybe you're looking for a great way to get your child into reading without having to spend a lot of money? Then check out Snake Eyes Comics. Snake Eyes Comics has been Knoxville's top spot for all your comic and nerd needs. With two convenient locations in the Home Depot Shopping Center in West Knoxville and off the Callahan Road exit in North Knoxville, Snake Eyes Comics has something for everyone. Find us on Facebook and stop in today. This is Andre Whitehead at Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio to talk about my friends at the John Bailey Company, Knoxville's independent insurance agency since 1946. For all your commercial, home, and auto needs, look to the John Bailey Company at 1011 North Broadway in Knoxville or contact them at 865-524-0785 or email at johnbaileyco.com. The John Bailey Company, Knoxville's independent insurance agency since 1946. How can we help you?
Join us for an in-depth discussion of the penetrating issues facing society today.
Penetrating.
The Swain Event, the fourth quarter. Rocky Top Insider Radio. The Dave Hooker Show and more. Sports talk around the clock. Sun up to sundown and online all the time. The new Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ.
And we are back. That was one of the best interviews we've had, Brent. Our Kelly chiropractic interview segment blowing up. That was a great interview. That was fun.
Probably not structurally the best, following
I think
pattern,
that's the best way to do it, though, man, is just go back and forth like that and throw things out
straight
there.
Straight from the hip and having some fun.
I like that one. And Mike played right along with us, so that's great. And so this is normally the segment where we have a small college report, and we're kind of going to do something a little different today.
We are.
It's still a small college report.
We are.
But I'm going to participate a little bit.
Yeah.
We've decided that we're going to do.
It's kind of like
a top five small college report, and Brent's going to give his top five. I'm going to give my top five, and I say how we do this is like you give your number five, I'll give my number five. We'll work our way up. We can do a little bit of explanation as to why. We think, and it'd be interesting to see if we have the same top five, how we differ. What do you think, Seth? It's going to be something that we're going to argue. Is there going to be punches thrown?
There probably will be, but that's okay. A little good debate. It's good.
A little debate.
Let's just go. Let's go. My number five top small college is Blackman High School. Oh, wait. Never mind. Yeah.
Okay.
They could be there, but they're a high school, sort of. The way they play is not really high school.
Gotcha.
No, I've got Scotty Combs, Martin Methodist at five.
You've got Scotty Combs, Martin Methodist at five. And I have the Scots of Maryville College at number five. Coming in at 5-1.
Bold.
With a big win over Center.
Big win over Emory. They've beaten two
great teams.
They've
beaten two really good teams.
They're fun to
watch. They split with Emory and Henry, beat them once, lost to them once.
Yeah, but the difference is they're playing without one of the best players in the country, Jamani Bird.
They are, an All-American, and they're really – and Spencer Schaffner's playing really well.
He is.
So I'm going with it, number five.
Colton Oakes, and I have to harp on this because he looked like one player at the unsigned senior event. He looked really good. He looks like a grown man now, dunking on people for Maryville. So, yeah. That's a good one. Well, a little bit there. My number four, Chuck Benson. Carson Newman at number four.
Oh, yeah. What's their record?
It's 3-3. Okay. They've taken a couple. But they played some good teams.
Have they? Who they lose to?
They lost to Lander. They lost to – was it Augusta State or Regents and somebody else? But you know what? The highlights look good. Carson Brooks looks sound. They're a good team.
Well, my number four is Scotty Combs and Martin Methodist.
Okay. So they've got a net average of 4.5.
And they're ranked number 11.
Yeah.
In the NAIA poll, yeah.
My number three has beaten a Division I team.
Mine too.
Freed Hardman.
Mine too.
Jason Shelton. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we agree. My number two... That's a pretty dang good number two team. It's Lincoln Memorial.
My number two. Pretty dang good Division II team, Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah. And then my number one is...
Well, let's talk a little bit about Lincoln Memorial. 5-1, 2-0 in the SAC.
Just a barn burner
they
the
just
other
had
day.
An awesome game with Lenore Ryan.
Lenore Ryan, who was up previously.
123, 122, and four overtimes.
Four overtimes. And I want to talk about... I didn't see
and
the stats.
Pinson, 29-20. Simmons, 28. There was two other guys. They had six in double figures. Steele had 15. Somebody else had 21. Simmons, not Simmons. Can't remember. But, great game. And then number one, and LMU's ranked 15th, by the way.
Yeah, they're both well, number one, it's going to be King. They're ranked fifth in one poll, 11th in another.
Yeah, there I don't are know two which poll we actually go by, but they're 6-0, 2-0 in conference. They beat LMU.
Yes, they did. And they beat LMU. They beat Tusculum. They've run the gamut there.
They're really good.
They are. One thing I want to put as a caveat in this is that Devin Schmidt is averaging 23 points, six rebounds, two steals, five assists,
listen to this,
31 minutes a game.
Good grief.
You know what? You read his bio for Delta State, and it is just like, oh, like it's just like a joke. Like, if you were like a 16-year-old kid and like, I'm going to go to college. Okay, so first year, I'll just be first-team all-conference as a freshman because, you know, I'll do my thing. I'll probably average, you know, 18 a game as a freshman, win these awards. Sophomore year, I'll step it up a little, cross the 1,000-point barrier. Junior year, there'll be no question I'm the best freaking player in the country.
Yeah, dude, I like that cross the 1,000-point barrier sophomore year.
Well,
I think it's being.
Oh, I know.
This is all fact. I mean, this is what it is.
It just seems like he gets better every year.
Yeah,
he's getting better by the game. Yes. It seems like, man.
And so,
it is redonkulous.
I do have him on there as
you one, had to. I'm glad you mentioned him,
and not Delta State, but Devin Schmidt, 1B.
I'm glad you mentioned.
Yeah,
so I
had to get him in there, but. Yeah, he's doing really well. The small college thing, I don't have Maryville there. Last night they beat Johnson 110-105.
They won.
They did win. That is a big credit to Johnson. Johnson's got three players, Gunnar St. John, Ricky Bowen, and Jordan McClendon, that are legit players. They are very good basketball players at the small college level. They've been there a couple years. A lot of credit.
What level are they?
Well, they're in CCAA. They're really good kids, but they can play basketball. At the small college level, they are good small college basketball players. But that's the best part. When you play a bunch of freshmen, you can play with
anybody. Well, I want Coach Lambert to know that I had them in my top five.
I handle Randy the way I handle Randy.
Didn't he just win his 650th
game? 650th game.
That's unreal.
In 36 seasons. The marker there is that for years, Division III only played 25 games. That was it. Now if you win the Division I title, you play 40 games in a season. 15 games in a season when you're only playing 25? I mean, that's – so the numbers are skewed, but 650 at the Division III level, he's going to get to 700. That's his goal. He'll get there. He'll get there pretty quick with the kids he's got because these freshmen are unreal. Colton Oaks – Emmanuel Garcia, it's fun. So, but I don't have him quite there because I think we got two really good NAIA teams. And I want to give a special shout out early, but if we were announcing a small college player of the year today, I would be going with Orlando Bass from Freed.
I would be going with Devin Schmidt.
What's the answer to every question?
Devin Schmidt.
Devin Schmidt, but
so.
Yeah, but he doesn't play in the state. But that
just over the border, though.
But Orlando Bass is can shoot the lights out.
Great name too.
It is a great name,
Orlando Bass.
Yeah, but got to catch. I've been to a Maryville game. I've been watching a ton of basketball.
I've been out watching a lot of games. I haven't got to go to a college game yet, so I'm trying to figure out, you know, how I can squeeze a couple in.
Watching the Vols, even. I'm going to give the Vols a shout-out because they,
lost their last two, haven't they? Okay.
They did, but, you know, they don't have a – they're missing an inside game, but they're playing hard, and they understand what they're doing.
And a point guard. And
look, Georgia fan, I don't need your attitude, okay?
I'm just being
honest. You're hating on my Vols. They look great in their Nike gear.
My Vols as well.
And
let's not talk about our college basketball teams, okay?
Okay. Well, let's just get back to our real point. King University
is the consensus number one.
Consensus number one.
In the first edition,
yes,
of the Small College Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio Small College Report, the first edition.
And could play. They have players that easily could shine at the Division I level. Those guys up there can freaking play basketball. So, good for them. If you get a chance to watch them play,
you really need to.
Will be thoroughly impressed.
And entertained.
And the ladies will love Duck Dynasty, Hunter Laveau, because for some reason, the ladies love him. So that's who they ask about, man. It's not me, man.
Of course it's not you. I mean we know that without a doubt. Yeah.
I would be like Drew Standifer. He's gorgeous, but that's not what the ladies say.
I got you. Well, how about that John Bailey Company Player of the Week?
How about it?
Well, I'm going to tell you who it is.
Well, yeah, he crossed the 1,000-point barrier.
Yes, he did. His name is John Carter from Summit High School. He's a junior.
Okay, good.
Played with Nashville Celtics in the summer.
I was thinking the Mythical Warrior.
The Mythical Warrior?
John Carter.
What is that from, Seth? Please tell me it's like He-Man or something.
It's a Disney action movie.
Mythical Warrior.
That had Riggins from Friday Night Lights in it.
Just a great reference.
Tell me you know it because you have a niece or a nephew.
I know it from the previews.
That's all I know it from, but he's a mythical beast, and he has skills in magic. much like this John Carter.
I don't know if he has skills in magic, but he's got some pretty good skills right now. They're playing really well. I believe they're undefeated right now as well, averaging about 25 points a game. And, yes, he did go over the 1,000-point mark. So congratulations to John Carter from Summit, our John Bailey Company Player of the Week.
Who's our mortgage investors, Darren Poppin, Coach of the Week?
Well, we debated on this a little bit. Thought about it a little bit, and it was quite a few tournaments. Most of the tournaments were more along the lines of you just played a game. You didn't, like, play a game in advance to the next game. But over at Central, they had, a really good tournament. Pretty good, you know, had a lot of local teams, some teams from Upper East Tennessee. Tennessee High came away as the winner of that tournament. They defeated the host team, Central, with your boy John Higgins. They defeated Webb.
My boy, John Higgins.
Well, our boy, John. I love John.
He is my
boy.
Yeah, I love John.
And then Webb, who last week we had Ricky Norris on the show. And then they defeated Powell in the championship. And if you listen to the AAA preview from a couple weeks ago, Powell was a team we were very high on.
Powell is a team that we were very high on. But I have also heard some very good things about Powell basketball this year. And we've seen some of their kids. They are a pretty dang good team.
So Tennessee High defeated all three of them to take home the championship.
Nice.
So real excited about that. And their head coach, Roby Witcher, we have selected as our Darren Poppin Mortgage Investors Group Coach of the Week.
Well deserved. That was a good tournament. Good for him.
Good for him. Yeah, he's a really nice guy. He's a guy that you that's pretty much your contact for the Arby's tournament up there. If you go up to the Arby's tournament, Roby's the contact, took over for Coach Burns, but he's done a real good job at Tennessee High, and it looks like they've got a pretty little nice little scrappy team that I believe is going to contend this year up in the up there against Science Hill and Dobbins Bennett, because both those teams are going to be down. So I think this is a chance for Tennessee High to maybe host a sub-state game and welcome, you know, maybe Maryville or Bearden or Heritage or somebody like that up there, because I got a feeling Oak Ridge is going to get their.
Well, I want to give you a little insight since you mentioned the Arby's Classic. My buddy Chris Smith purchased the Arby's in the Tri-Cities area over this past year. He purchased the Arby's, and that comes with the sponsorship of the Arby's Classic.
Awesome.
And he mentioned it. He goes, man, that's like a big deal. And I go, yeah, it's got a history to it. Yeah, it's got a lot of tradition. He goes, man, I'm all for it. So that's a good sign for that tournament. The new owner he showed a lot of enthusiasm when he found out that he bought a company that has a big basketball tournament, and he was like, "I'm all about it." So good. That's good news for the tournament. So hopefully, I know he's fully committed to sponsoring it and making it as fun as you can make that tournament up there. So that's a good deal,
man. That sounds great. So maybe we'll get a chance to go up there possibly.
Yeah,
we can figure it out, because there's tournaments in Maryville and tournaments in everywhere. I mean, I'm going to try to hit Nashville from the week of the 21st, and then the next week try to hit, you know, the tournaments around here. The best of preps, they're going
to
play on the 26th.
Memphis.
I'm going to Memphis in January
for
the Penny Hardaway Hoop Fest, so I'll get to see a lot of the good teams for those 2 days. So I'm really excited about that. So, and then I'll be in London, Kentucky at North Laurel watching 22 Foot Academy in Hamilton Heights on Saturday.
Well, Saturday night I might be, I'm trying to get to CAK.
I wish you would. CAK and CPA play Saturday
night.
I'm gonna
email Shane Wells, tell him to put me on the pass list because I got two kids. I'm trying to buy Christmas presents.
I got you.
A free ticket would come in very heavy. I'll just wear a press pass. We need press passes. Media credentials.
I have one.
For CAK?
It works for every school.
Nice.
So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this one up. And this is Andre Whitehead with...
Daddy.
What? That's so gross. I hate when he says that.
It is very gross.
It's just... I saw it. It comes from Dodgeball, the movie Dodgeball, where they wear the all leather.
I get it.
And he takes it off. He's like... You must be daddy.
I remember the movie, but it just...
I actually saw that movie last night.
It's just
I was like,
gross coming
from.
Out of your mouth for great some movie. Reason. I mean, it is a
great
movie.
Hard to believe I've only got a semester of junior college under my belt.
White Goodman, one of the best characters in any movie, anytime.
Made me bleed my own blood.
All right. This is Andre Whitehead for Seth Stokes, for Brent Watts, for the whole crew. We are the whole crew. This is Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio, Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ.